This is joint work that I've done with my advisor at Princeton University. So before going into seeing how SSDs can be integrated efficiently into the virtual memory hierarchy, I'd like to quickly brush through how memory is currently used in network systems. I mean, the most popular usage being as a cache. So it's used as a front-end caches for your web back-end data. And I mean, everybody is familiar with tools like Memcache, which actually use huge amounts of DRAM to essentially speed up the performance of your web servers. Another popular usage of DRAM in network systems is by making use of DRAM as an index. I mean, these can be indexes for proxy caches, WAN accelerators, and inline data deduplicators. These help avoid false positives so that you can figure out the membership of a particular object in the DRAM, and you can make effective use of your disk so that when you go to the disk, you actually are sure that the object can be found on the disk. So the problem with this approach is that DRAM density is not scaling. So to illustrate this point, if you look at the cost per gigabyte of DRAM, when you consider the total cost of a one rack unit server, it scales about linearly until it's about 64 gigabytes per one rack unit server. I mean, so this is considering the total cost of the server, including the board that can actually support that amount of DRAM. But once you start increasing the DRAM beyond, or let's say 64 gigabytes, the cost of the one rack unit server actually increases non-linearly, and it starts becoming really high. And today, it's not even possible to have half a terabyte or a terabyte of amount of DRAM in a single rack unit server. To have a terabyte of DRAM, you probably need like 4 or 5 or even 7 rack units, depending on the vendor that you're getting your 1 terabyte DRAM server from. And the other end of the problem in using this sort of a model is that the disk speed limits are not increasing. Disk speeds are not increasing. Capacity is increasing, but the seek latency is not decreasing in a linear fashion. So it's still about 200 seeks per disk per second, where the CPUs can perform much higher than this, much better than this, much faster than this. So an alternate solution to the using slow disks is to use high-speed disk arrays, where you use many smaller capacity drives in parallel. But the total cost of this approach, because you need to have a high-speed disk array and you need to have fans to cool down this disk, essentially cool this disk array down, the cost becomes about 10 times more when compared to similar capacity 70 to 100 RPM drives. And they also use more rack space per byte, because now you're using many disks of the smaller capacity as opposed to using one single larger capacity 70 to 100 RPM drive. So our proposal is to use flash as memory to essentially solve these problems. So the first problem that we like to address is DRAM density limitation. We want to overcome per system DRAM limit via flash memory. I mean, we'd like to enable applications which can run on single rack units with 64 GB of DRAM or even 128 GB of DRAM with a terabyte of flash memory as main memory. And we also want to provide a choice. Do you want to have more rack units, more servers, or do you want to have a single server with flash memory? So that's the choice that you can get by enabling flash memory to be used as program memory. So this also reduces the total cost of ownership for you, because long-tailed workloads are important. I mean, there are not many workloads which don't fit in 64 GB of RAM, but ones which don't are actually very important. And as I said, DRAM is too expensive, and disk is also too slow for these workloads to work efficiently today in a single rack unit. And because to get more DRAM, I mean, you invest more, you essentially increase the number of servers that you want, and eventually the CPU becomes underutilized. So we also would like to use the excess amount of money that you spend on the CPU well. But the question is, how do you ease application development with flash memory? Because flash has all these well-known problems. But the good thing is it has fast random reads. I mean, there are devices today available which can do 1 million random IOPS per drive. And the problem really with flash memory is that writes don't happen as fast. Writes usually happen after an erase, and the number of erases that you can do in flash is limited, and it also leads to some amount of reduction of lifetime whenever you do an erase. So there's an endurance problem with these flash devices. Another good aspect of flash memory is that there's no seek latency. There's only read and write latency, and that's the reason why we believe that flash memory is closer to DRAM in characteristics. as opposed to being closer to magnetic drives. And it also has a large capacity. Today, you can get a half terabyte SSD with, in a 2.5-inch form factor. And Fusion recently released IO Octal Drive, which can which is essentially a 10.2 terabyte MLC SSD, which is a PCIe card, and it fits right into your one rack unit server. So obviously, there's a question of hierarchy. But if you look at how the hierarchy has evolved so far, the memory was byte addressable, and disk was block addressable. And memory was always virtually addressed since a long time now, and disk is directly addressed. You essentially have a block which corresponds to some physical block on the disk. And memory is low latency, and disk is high latency, whereas memory is volatile and disk is non-volatile. So the question of hierarchy was simple. I mean, so because the disk is slow, it's used as a secondary storage device. But with the arrival of SSDs, I mean, because SSDs were non-volatile, they were initially put together with the disk, and they're even today shipped in the form factor of a disk. But we believe that because flash has a low latency with and it does not have seek latency, we believe that SSDs should be closer to memory as being, I mean, it should be closer to memory the way application sees it. And so essentially, we propose that SSDs be used as program memory instead of being used as program secondary storage. So if you look at how transparent tiering is done today, if you look at how SSDs or even flash memory is used as virtual memory today, one popular usage scenario is used as swap or via IMAP. Applications need not be modified because they just essentially use the traditional swap that was built for magnetic drives, and pages are transparently swapped in and on bit, in and out of DRAM based on their usage. But the problem is that the native pager, which was originally designed for seek-optimized disk drives, delivers only 10% of the SSD's raw read performance. I'll explain later why there's such an overhead in terms of performance. Even flash-aware pagers can only deliver only 30% of the SSD's read performance. Again, I'll explain later why this happens. And one of the main reasons why these performance bottlenecks arise is because the OS pager, the swap, was originally designed for seek-limited disks, and they were doing a lot of seek optimizations which are not relevant to the flash world. And it was originally designed as a dead page storage and never actually designed as a memory where, never actually designed as a storage system where you actively use it in your application's performance. So here's a quick overview of why the transparent tiering today actually doesn't deliver high performance. Here's a simple example of where RAM has four pages, and we have four pages of 4 kilobytes each, and they have 16 objects of 1 kilobyte each. And let's say the SSD has a block size of 16 kilobytes, and each of these blocks on the SSD can actually have four pages. So let's say the RAM actually needs the object number 31 right now, which is 1 kilobyte object, which is on the SSD right now. It's not present in the DRAM. So the way swap would do it is it would erase a page in RAM, bring the page to the SSD, and then perform the read on the object number 31, which is a 1 kilobyte object. So even though the application is interested only in the 1 kilobyte object, which is object number 31, it still reads a full 4 kilobyte object from the SSD, wasting some read bandwidth, either on the IO bus or inside the SSD, however the SSD is actually implemented. And let's take a look at how writes happen. Let's say the object number 11 is edited, which is a 1 kilobyte object again. To reflect this particular edit on the SSD, what the SSD has to do is go and erase the entire block that is that contains this particular object and rewrite the entire block containing this object so that it can actually reflect the edit. So because you're doing this transparently via malloc, you're probably calling free whenever you don't actually need the object anymore. So even the free operation is actually a write, because free actually maintains the stack, the heap information in as part of the page, and when you do a free operation, it's actually editing the page. So even the free operation, which is essentially the application is telling that I don't care about this object anymore, it still needs to erase the page on the SSD and make the page write manifest on the SSD. So to solve this problem of write escalation, which is essentially going and erasing in every block on every write, what most FTLs or operating systems, modern file systems, which are flash aware do is that they maintain an indirection table so that you essentially do these, manage the SSD as a lock structured page store and minimize the number of erases. And they maintain this indirection table either in the SSD or in the operating system. So the problem is not that you'll have to do erases. That's one of the problems. So the other main problem is that you're doing these 4 kilobyte granularity reads and writes out of the SSD, even though the application object can be much smaller than that. So to address all these problems, a lot of application designers do build custom object stores with custom object pointers, and then they do reads, writes, and garbage collection at an object granularity, and thereby increase the performance of their application. So by doing the operations at an object granularity, they get the best performance and lifetime from the flash memory device. But the problem with this approach is that they need intrusive application modifications, and they also need expertise with flash memory. If an application developer wants to build, let's say, a simple hash table, but the number of objects that he has in his hash table is beyond the amount of DRAM that he has, he now needs to go and build this object store and essentially know how flash memory works, and he has to essentially build a custom object store and do the lock structured garbage collection on top of flash and do all these optimizations himself. So that, we think, will discourage many developers from going this route of using flash memory in a non-transparent manner. So here's a quick example of what I was essentially explaining about custom object pointer. So if you look at the malloc plus SSD as a swap world, all you need to do is malloc your object, use it, and we're done with it. You essentially free it. But when you do the application rewrite, you need to first allocate a custom object pointer, then allocate some memory for actually you being able to use this object in memory while you're in memory. Then you use the object, then you write the object back to the SSD, and then you free the temporary memory that you allocated for your object. So obviously, as you see, even for a simple C-style programming language, you need to have many intrusive application modifications for actually enabling these kind of optimizations. And on top of this, you need to build a runtime system which actually is doing garbage collection of the SSD at the back. So our goal is to run mostly unmodified applications. We would like to work via memory allocators in C-style programming languages, because that's how programmers are actually used to. I mean, they allocate memory and then work with virtual memory data structures, and they essentially have a program that works in that manner. And we would like to use DRAM efficiently. As I previously told you, even though the application was interested in only 1 kilobyte objects, it still has to cache the entire 4 kilobyte page in DRAM, which renders the other 3 kilobytes in the page as DRAM pollution, and actually doesn't provide any useful work for the application. So we would like to use DRAM as efficiently as possible. We would like to use it as an object cache, a hot object cache, as opposed to using it as a hot page cache. And we would also like to use the SSD wisely. We would like to minimize the reads and writes, and in particular, we would like to use it as a lock structured object storage, so that we'll minimize the number of erases, and we'll also use it as a lock structured object store, thereby restricting the write size to essentially the size of the object that the application is editing. So obviously, in C-style programming languages, to be able to detect how the application is using its object is actually very difficult. So what the virtual memory system provides you is an information at which the page is being modified, information of which page or which is being modified or which page is being accessed right now. But there is no finer grain information. So to be able to get information with respect to how the application is using its objects, we would like to reorganize your virtual memory allocation pattern to discern object information from page usage information that is readily available from your virtual memory system. So here's a high-level overview of the SSD alloc system and the virtual memory allocation technique called OPP. It's short for object per page, that we have designed so that we can actually detect how objects are being used. So let's say the application creates 64 objects of 1 kilobyte size each. In a traditional virtual memory system, what happens is it creates 16 kilobytes of worth of virtual memory space, which is 4 pages. And then out of these 4 pages, your malloc essentially allocates you these 64 objects. But in object per page, in the SSD alloc virtual memory allocation model, what we do is instead of allocating you 16 pages, we allocate 64 pages. And we place the object at the start of the page, and we do not allocate the rest of the page for virtual memory allocation. But so essentially, the virtual memory information tells you that which page is being used, and from that we can precisely figure out which object is being used because there's only one object per page. Obviously, this can lead to huge physical memory wastage because you're not using the rest of the 3 kilobytes in the page. So what we do is we split your physical memory and make a small portion of your physical memory as something called the page buffer. The page buffer is a set of pages that contains the current physical manifestations of some of these pages that we have allocated in the virtual memory. The rest of the DRAM, or the rest of the physical memory, or let's say 99% of the physical memory, is actually maintained as a compact object cache of these objects. So the RAM object cache contains, let's say, 24 of these objects right now, and they are maintained in a compact manner and doesn't actually lead to any physical memory wastage. I'll explain later how we actually demand page into the page buffer and try to save the space and continue with the execution of your application. And because we have object usage information, we have information on how the application is precisely using your objects, we can manage the SSD as a log structured object store, as opposed to managing it as a log structured page store. So obviously, you would have noticed that when you allocate arrays in C style, in C style programming languages, the developer expects the objects to be contiguous in virtual memory. But in the OPP style, the objects are separated by page boundaries as opposed to being separated by object boundaries. So if you're allocating arrays, which is quite unlike the application scenario that I was explaining, essentially creating caches and indexes, which essentially do allocations on an object per object basis. But we would still like to provide compatibility where you would like to create arrays. So we have a compatibility mode called memory pages, which essentially works like the malloc memory manager, but the SSD is managed as a log structured page store in this case. So the OPP uses a pool allocator, like a simple object pool allocator. It's a slab allocator. You can allocate objects of any size that you want. But the compatibility mode, the memory page mode, works like the coalescing malloc allocator that everybody is familiar with. And the virtual memory usage of these two techniques is apparent. As I explained before, the amount of virtual memory used by object per page is equal to the number of objects that you have into the page size. But the memory page does not have this lavish use of virtual memory usage. It's exactly equal to the amount of virtual memory you allocate. And the physical memory state of these techniques, as I explained before, is that object per page model separates your DRAM into separate page buffers and RAM object cache, but there's no such separation in the compatibility mode in the memory page model. And in the OPP case, the SSD is used as a log structured object store, while in the memory page case, the SSD is used as a log structured object store. And the code changes with respect to if you want to use the object per page allocator or the memory page allocator is for the code changes. If you would like to use the SSD as a log structured object store, the code changes are restricted to memory allocation part of the system. But if you would like to use the compatibility mode where the SSD is used as a log structured object page store, you don't need to do any code changes. So as I mentioned before, there's a small set of pages that are in core right now, and this is called the page buffer. And this is how the page buffer, pages are actually paged in and out of the page buffer on demand. So if the object is actually found in the RAM object cache, the page is manufactured and then it's put in the page buffer. If the RAM object cache does not have the necessary object, the objects are fetched on demand from the SSD, they're put in the RAM object cache, and the page is materialized. And we implement this on-demand paging via mprotect. What we do is we mprotect all of the virtual memory that is allocated via SSD alloc. And when the application tries to use any of the virtual memory, it actually takes a segmentation fault. And in the fault handler, we go and manufacture this page either from the RAM object cache or from the SSD in an on-demand fashion for you. And the RAM object cache continuously flushes dirty objects to the SSD. And because, as I mentioned before, the virtual memory information, the fault handler actually tells you which address you faulted it, we would know which objects are being used by the application. And from that information, we would know if it's a write or a read. And for all the objects that have been written to, we maintain a dirty bit in RAM object cache, and we essentially flush those dirty objects into the SSD in a log structured manner. So here's how we actually maintain the SSD. So because the virtual memory addresses are always fixed, and because the application always uses the objects via virtual memory address, those are the fixed addresses of the objects. But on the other hand, because we are maintaining the SSD in a log structured manner, their address continuously keeps changing. So to have a mapping between the fixed virtual memory addresses to their ever-changing SSD addresses, we need some sort of address translation. And we do these address translations via a data structure called object table, which is similar to page tables in your virtual memory system. And The paper actually contains the details of the exact data structures we use for object tables, but here I'm going to quickly brush through saying that object tables are similar to page tables in a virtual memory system. So we use a copy and compact garbage collector like to maintain the SSD. It's like a read, modify, write sort of a garbage collector. It's not seek optimized because flash memory does not have a seek latency. And what we essentially do is we read at the head of the log. We collect all the live objects in in the particular block that we just read, and we determine this liveness using object table, the object table data structure, and we flush any dirty objects that we have in RAM object cache, make them compact together, and write the block at the same location back to the SSD, and we keep rolling in the log in this manner. And while you do this, garbage is disposed of. Objects that are written elsewhere are garbage because object was used, it was written elsewhere, so the older location of the object is now garbage. And an OPP object, which is also free, is garbage. So this is what I was originally referring to. In the malloc model, when you free an object, it's actually not freed from your entire page. I mean, essentially because the rest of the page might be used for memory allocation. You still might have to write the page back to the SSD. Because OPP works at an object granularity, you can do garbage collection now at an object granularity, leading to much more efficient usage of the SSD when the amount of DRAM that you have is much smaller than the amount of flash memory that you have. So we implemented SSD alloc as a runtime library in C++ in 11,000 lines of C code, and it's implemented using mProtect, mmap, and mAdvise as I described before. And it plugs into any of your C or C++ style applications. So the three main function calls into this library are the following. The SSD alloc OPP model, the pool allocator and array allocator for allocating OPP style objects, and SSD alloc MP model. If you use SSD alloc MP, the SSD is used as a lock structured page store, which essentially is our comparison point for comparing against lock structured swap. And we also use, we also have a SSD free function call, which essentially frees your data. And the good thing about SSD alloc is that this can coexist with malloc, so you don't have to translate all your memory allocation onto SSD alloc. You only want to translate your memory intensive portions of the of your data to SSD alloc. So here's a quick overview of what SSD alloc does. It does all these optimizations which are necessary for high performance, and it also gives you programming ease at the same time. With the application rewrite model, you don't have programming ease because you need to do intrusive modifications, while today's transparent programming techniques actually don't give you high performance because of the problems that I mentioned. So here's a quick overview of the overhead that you have because of the page manifestation of the user space page manifestation in the segmentation fault handler. Currently, because you take a segmentation fault and then do a mem copy, you sort of, there is some overhead in the runtime, and that's about 0.833 microsecond. But as a comparison, if you look at NAND flash latency, it is somewhere between 30 to 50 microsecond. So if you essentially translate those malloc calls, which actually are only those malloc calls of the data intensive portions of your memory, then in that case, you would translate only that part of the workload which actually needs the SSD for every application request. So that actually does not add much overhead. And because the overhead is only 0.833 microsecond, we can actually reach 1 million IOPS, which is currently being provided by SSD vendors as the maximum, as the fastest SSD right now. So we've done a lot of experimentation. So we've taken applications, we replaced malloc in these applications with SSD alloc OPP, and we've taken the same application and replaced malloc with SSD alloc MP, and we have used the legacy swap as a comparison point. And all the tests have been done in this particular machine. It's a quad-core machine with 16 GB of RAM, and we have tested 5 different kinds of SSDs. Some are SLC, some are MLC, and some are low-end SSDs, netbook-style SSDs, and some are enterprise-class SSDs. So this is a quick overview of the applications that we tested. As you can see, the number of lines of code that we have modified is not more than 40 lines of code. It's only between 9 to 36 lines of code. But the benefits of using the SSD as a lock-structured object, as an object store, which is via SSD alloc OPP over swap, is somewhere between 4.3 to 17.4 times, depending on the style of the application. And the advantage of using the SSD as a log structured object store as opposed to a log structured page store is somewhere between 1.3 to 3.5 times. Even that is significant. So it's apparent that you can get immediate benefits of using the SSD as a log structured page store on when compared to swap. But if you're willing to go the extra mile of modifying the code a bit further, then you'd actually get much higher performance benefits. And SSD ALLOC applications also write up to 32 times less data to the SSD when compared to traditional VM-style applications, because traditional VM-style applications are marking your pages dirty as opposed to marking your objects dirty. So here are a few micro-benchmarks. So what we did for these micro-benchmarks is we created a 32-gigabyte array of 128-byte objects, and we performed random reads and writes on these 128-byte objects across the SSD. So the throughput gain factor is given as the y-axis, and the first set of micro benchmarks is the improvement of SSD ALLOC OPP over using SSD as a swap. As you can see, as the write traffic increases, the performance of SSD swap drastically falls down because it is using it's not using the SSD in a log structured manner. It's also not flash aware, and it does a lot of optimizations that were intended for seek limited disks and which were not originally intended or designed for something like flash memory. And the second set of micro benchmarks is the benefits of using SSD OPP style virtual memory allocation over MP style virtual memory allocation. Though even those benefits are somewhere between 2 to 4 times when you translate your SSD into a log structured page store. So here are some. So we essentially ported Memcache server to use SSD ALLOC. So only the slab allocator part of the Memcache actually uses SSD ALLOC, and the rest of the Memcache essentially uses the malloc function call that it was originally built to use for. So what we did in this experiment is we did 100% reads, 100% gets, and all 100. We made sure that all 100% of them are hits in your Memcache server, and we varied the size of the average size of the object. We varied the object average size of the object from 128 bytes to 8 kilobytes. As you can see, the performance of log structured page store, which is SSD ALLOC MP and swap, is constant across the entire size of objects because they're doing all their operations at a page granularity as opposed to doing them at an object granularity. On the other hand, because SSD ALLOC OPP works at an object granularity, its performance is much higher than these two techniques when the size of the object is much smaller than a page size. But as the object size increases, you stand to see the benefits of using SSD ALLOC at an object granularity. So another experiment is something that we have done across 5 different SSDs. So these benefits are not across a single SSD here because it's a faulty FTL or something. So we have so there are 5 different SSDs that we have tested, and we have done 50% reads and 50% reads. Essentially, 50% of them are hits and 50% of them are inserts in your Memcache server. And we provide the y-axis as a raw throughput number that you obtain from these SSDs. So as you can see, even at a high insert rate of 50% inserts, the benefits of using SSD ALLOC OPP over using SSD as a swap are significantly higher. And the benefits are about 2 to 4 times when you use SSD as a log structured object store over using SSD as a log structured page store. So here's a quick summary of what we have done so far. SSD ALLOC migrates the SSD naturally into a virtual memory system, and it uses the RAM as a compact object cache. So it makes good, effective use of your DRAM, of the available DRAM that you have. And virtual memory addresses are used, which means that the application can be in a low-level programming language like C, can obtain these performance benefits. And the code restrictions are the code changes are restricted to the memory allocation part of your application, which is only about 9 to 36 lines of code in many of the applications that we have tested. And all this while other approaches which can deliver similar performance benefits only when you have to make intrusive modifications into the application. And we use the SSD as a log structured object store, which delivers about 90% of the raw SSD read performance, because you've now reduced the read sizes to the size of the object as opposed to the size of the page. And while other transparent approaches like swap or log structured swap only deliver between 10 or 30% of the raw SSD read performance. And we also reduce the write volume by up to 32 times depending on the size of your object. You can go to the website if you have any questions, or you can directly contact me. And I'd like to take questions at this point. Thank you.
Hi, Bill Belosky from Microsoft Research. First, a comment, which is that spending a lot of time sweating about being log structured and writing to flash drives is not necessary, because any high-performance flash system has got a flash translation layer that does that underneath you.
So right. The flash translation layer actually happens at a block granularity. So let's say, I mean, even the best flash translation layer happens at a 512 byte granularity. Object is much smaller than 512 bytes, let's say if it's 100 bytes, you're still writing.
I agree. There's two separate things. There's doing objects and there's being log structured. The objects matter, the log structured does not, because it's happening underneath you.
No, the log structured writes don't happen at an object granularity. They still happen at a 512 byte granularity. So if I'm writing a 100 byte object, you still go and write the 512 byte object if your flash is, even if your FTL is doing log structured. So what we do by doing an application level log structured object store is by making sure that your object, even though the application object could be even 4 bytes. Right. Mm-hmm. So in that case, if you're writing a 512 byte, if you're rewriting a 512 byte block in your FTL, your write escalation is up by 128 times.
Yeah, I agree that putting little objects in little stores. Anyway, so the question I had was, did you compare the performance of this for applications that actually fit in memory? So if you weren't blowing out your memory, what's the overhead? Because it seems to me that faulting, going down into the operating system, coming back up on what amounts to the probably the majority of your memory references is really going to kill you.
Right.
You said 99% of memory is your compacted version, which means only 1% is holding objects.
So as I mentioned before, you don't have to translate all your malloc calls into SSD alloc. You can translate only the memory intensive portions of your application, which means, let's look at the simple example of memcache. It's a simple hash table, right? So there's an index and the objects that you have in your memcache. You don't have to have the index on the SSD. The index, which is essentially CPU intensive, can be allocated via malloc, which goes to the traditional VM system. And the actual objects, which are memory intensive, can actually reside on the SSD, and you can allocate them using the SSD alloc. And what the advantage of doing this is that you take the runtime intervention only once per application object request, which is essentially one memcache request. So that's the advantage you get. So use SSD alloc in those portions where you're sure to use the SSD, because that part of the portion actually didn't fit in the DRAM. So that's the advantage of having this separation between this advantage of having the fact that SSD alloc can coexist with malloc.
Okay.
I'm Hyuntaek Lim from CMU, and I guess my question is somewhat similar to the working state studies, but I'm seeing several experimental numbers for small object sizes. So how's the performance for very large object size, like 100 gigabyte, if the one object consumes 100 gigabyte of space?
So your question is, what happens when the object size is 100 gigabytes?
Uh-huh.
So for such large objects, we essentially advise you to use MP. And because MP uses the SSD as a log structured page store, you essentially be doing paging in and paging out at a 4 KB granularity of the 100 gigabyte object. Because the SSDs already do flash translation layer at a 512 byte granularity, there's actually no seek latency. So if you do random reads or do a sequential read, there's only overhead in terms of slight increase in latency, but there's no significant difference in performance for high-end SSDs today. I hope that answers your question.
Ashok Anand from University of Wisconsin-Madison. So I was wondering whether still application developers have to know that there's a flash storage of this size and DRAM of this size. For example, if you have like very small objects, like 32 byte objects, or your flash storage is quite large, like 256 gigabytes, then your object table is going to exceed DRAM. And if that exceeds, then your performance is going to suffer. So do you have like some guidelines that, okay, this is the DRAM that, or this is the flash storage you should use?
So in the current implementation, we only try to store the object tables in DRAM. We actually don't store, we don't actually restrict you to have them entirely in DRAM. So, okay, so that's the object table slide that we have. So what we do is the object tables are also implemented the way the page tables in your virtual memory system are implemented. The physical page that corresponds to this particular page table can actually reside on the SSD, and even the object table can be paged in and paged in out of the DRAM, into and out of the SSD in an on-demand fashion. The application doesn't have to worry about physical memory allocation, because that's the sort of optimization they did long time back when DRAM was really, really expensive.
So, but once object table is on SSD, any random object write access is going to make the performance bad, right? Because of the high garbage collection
overhead,
right?
If the amount of DRAM is so small that you can't even fit the index of your objects in the DRAM, obviously you need to have two accesses onto the SSD. So, but we have done some really good optimization so that you can fit your object tables in DRAM. So if you're using large SSDs, you might have to use a 64-byte indirection into the SSDs. But we have brought this overhead down to about 32 bytes per object right now, which is a lot like how the overhead from page tables that you have in legacy virtual memory system.
Okay, thanks.